I've entitled my sermon this morning, What Time Is It? What Time Is It? You know, you ask different people that question, and depending on how they have their watch sets, you're going to get a different answer. In fact, I'll just tell you a little secret. You know, some of you might look at me and say, well, there's a guy that when the alarm goes off in the morning, he just jumps out of bed ready to start the day. How many of you think that's true of your preacher? Oh, I'm disappointed. Actually, I am resurrected anew each morning, and I have three clocks. Here's my system. We have a grandfather's clock that chimes. It's in the other room, but I got that set 10 minutes fast. And so about 10 till 6 every morning, I'm sort of half awake, but I hear that go off like it's 6 o'clock. And then I've got my alarm next to the bed set 5 minutes early. They all go off at 6 o'clock, all right? But I got my alarm next to the bed set for 6 o'clock, but it's 5 minutes early. And then I got my little BlackBerry that has an alarm on it. It's across the room. It's set actually at 6 o'clock because that way I got to get up to turn that off. So I have all the clocks are set for the same time, and they just go off 5 minutes apart. Now, when Thomas Jefferson was working on the Declaration of Independence, he was working late in the night one night, and Benjamin Franklin made a trip up to the loft where he was working and tried to encourage him. And he said, Thomas, everybody knows that it's very, very hard to get 13 clocks to chime at the same time. And, of course, he was talking about the 13 colonies trying to put together the Declaration of Independence and how hard it would to get an agreement. But I want to talk to you about what time it is this morning. Adam read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon when he was an old man at the end of his life, an old man lamenting life. And Solomon was recounting for us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 the cycles that make up life. He said there was a time to be born and a time to die. And of course, this morning we have people at both ends of that spectrum. We have some that were just born, and we have some that are closer to death than they are to their birth. He said there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, times to be sad and times to be happy that are spread throughout life. A time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. Most of us haven't learned exactly the secret to that one yet. We talk when we should be quiet, and we're quiet when we should talk. A time of war and a time of peace. And I've counseled many marriage couples that said that's not talking about marriage. That's talking about what goes on in the world. A marriage should be a constant time of peace, of getting along, of loving each other. But you think about these, and you can find yourself in one of those cycles where you are in your life. And the same thing is true in our spiritual life. We go through cycles in our spiritual life. And this morning, and again, as we've talked about this, the cycles of life that Solomon mentions, you can identify where you are. You may be in a time of mourning, or you may be in a time of peace and joy this morning. You may be in a time of loss, or you may be in a time of gain. And as Adam read those, and as I talked about a couple of them, you might have said to yourself, well, that's where I am this morning. That describes me. The same thing is true in our spiritual life. God has set some times in our spiritual life, and this morning I want to talk about four of them, and I want you to ask yourself, where are you? Which one of these times are you in? And once you identify where you are, and then I'll help you and point out to you what you need to do. So, number one, there's a time to be saved. A time to be saved. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, the Bible says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And God has set in every life a time to be saved. A time to be born again. A time to come face to face with the fact that you are a sinner. That you don't measure up to God's standard. That you're not as good as Jesus. And the Bible says that all the good that we have to offer to God, all of our goodness, all of our kindness, all of our honesty, all of our courtesy, all the good things we can do in God's sight are as filthy rags. And there's a time in life that God has set to come face to face with the fact that we're sinners. There's a time in life when we need to come face to face with the fact that there's a penalty for sin. That penalty for sin, the Bible says, is death. Not physical death, but spiritual death. Being separated from God. In eternity, there's only two places that exist in eternity. Heaven and hell. Heaven is where God lives. Hell is where God doesn't live. And if sin, the penalty for sin is spiritual death, then you can figure out where you're going for eternity. If you are still in your sins when you die and leave this earth, you are not going to heaven to live with God. You are going to hell to live in the place that God doesn't. I believe in a literal place called hell. It's a place just as much as this place is. The Bible talks more about hell than it does about heaven. It's a place of a bottomless pit, a place of darkness, a place where the worm dieth not. It's a place where you have no friends, a place where you are all alone. Say there'll be other people there, right? Yeah, there will be. But you'll feel a great sense of loss. And once you enter hell, there's no way out. So God has set a time in our lives for salvation. A time to come face to face with the fact that we're a sinner. A time to come face to face with the fact that there's a penalty for that sin. A time to come face to face, even though we're sinners, God loved us. Choir sang this morning, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I'm so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. But this is the dearest, and it truly is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. And that love took the form of Jesus taking every sin that we have in our life, laying it on himself and going to Calvary's cross and dying and paying for that sin. You see, our sin had to be paid for. God is a God of love, but he's also a God of justice. And when he says there's a wage for sin, every one of us has to pay that wage or have somebody pay it for us. And when Jesus went to the cross, he paid for our sin. Isaiah talks about it in Isaiah chapter 53 when he says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says now is the time to believe that. Now is the time to know that you're a sinner and there's a penalty for that sin. But Jesus Christ paid the penalty. Now is the time to receive it. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And you can join God's family this morning. The same way you are a part of your physical, earthly family by being born into it, you get to join God's family the same way by being born into it by what Jesus did for us on Calvary's cross. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is the day, your time of birth into that family. Your time to be saved. Your time to be born again. So there's a time to be saved. Number two, there's a time to trust. A time to trust. In Psalm 56, verse 3, the Bible says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Kelly sang it. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. And again, I'm separating this time from a time of being saved. You need to trust Jesus to be saved. But as a Christian, there comes a time in our life, times in our life when we need to trust him. When we need to know that God is God and that we can depend that he is going to do what he says he will do in this book. You know, we live in a scary world. We live in a world where things happen. Natural disasters. People fighting with one another. We live in a world like in the United States of America where the economy is on the rocks. And some of you know I'm getting ready to retire, and I have all people, sorts of people coming up to me and say, Daryl, aren't you sort of afraid to retire because, you know, the stock market's low and your 401k is not worth as much as it was? And I always tell them, nope, I'm not depending on my 401k. I'm not depending on my pension. I'm not depending on money in the bank or money in the stock market. I am depending on God to take care of me. Now, he may use all that other stuff to do it, or he may choose to do it some other way. But there comes times in our life as Christians where we just have to step back and say, I'm trusting God. It doesn't matter how scary the world gets. It doesn't matter that there's terrorists all over the place. It doesn't matter that there's wars. It doesn't matter that there's famines. It doesn't matter that there's floods and earthquakes. Jesus told us they're going to come in the last times anyway. And I'm not setting dates, but I'll tell you what, we're closer to Jesus coming again than we've ever been at any time in history. Amen. You say, well, yeah, preacher, that's easy to say because it's later. I know, but we're closer. Nothing else has to be done. He could come at any moment. And I'm trusting that when he calls, if I'm alive when he comes back, I'm going to hear that trumpet sound. I'm going to hear that voice. Come up hither. I'm going to rise to meet him in the air because I trust him and he's going to take care of me. Now you listen to me. There comes time in every person's life because of what's going on in your life where you just need to simply, with childlike faith, trust that you have a God in heaven that knows what's going on in your life and cares and will control the events of your life to work it out for good. He's got his eye on us. He's got his eye on us. I've told you the story. I told it not too long ago. I'll tell it again because it makes the point perfectly. A little boy was home with his dad. His mom had just passed away, gone to heaven. Grandpa and grandma had left. All the aunts and uncles have left. All the friends has left. It was just him and dad. First night they'd spent alone at home since mom was gone. This little boy's bedroom was right across the hall from his parents' bedroom, and his dad tucked him in, said his prayers, and tucked him in. And he went to get in bed himself. And he heard a little cry from the other room. He said, Daddy, I miss Mama. And Daddy said, I know, so do I. And he said, Daddy, could I come and sleep with you? And Daddy knew that if he said yes, he'd have a bed fellow the rest of his life. And Daddy said, no, you sleep in your own bed. And the little boy said, Daddy, have you got your face turned toward me? And Daddy said, yes, son. My face is turned toward you. I've got my eye on you. I'll watch you. And that's exactly the same thing that God does to every single one of us. Sometimes we just want to get in the bed with him and have all our trouble go away. And he says, no, you're not going to grow up that way. You're not going to learn that way. You just stay right there in the middle of your trouble. But I want you to know I know what's going on. I got my eye on you. I won't let anything come into your life that will harm you. Everything that will come into your life will be for your good. I guarantee you that. You just know and you just trust him. There's a time that we need to trust. Number three, there's a time to awake. In Romans chapter 13, verse 11, and that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. In verses 12 and 14, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the work of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. What Paul was saying to the Christians at Rome, he's saying, hey, it's time to wake up. It's time to get busy for God. It's time to do the things that God has called us to do. It's time to start living a Christian life. It's time to start letting our light shine so that others can see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. You see, all of us as Christians think we have plenty of time to serve God. We have plenty of time to do what God wants us to do. And what Paul is saying, no, 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 no. You don't have plenty of time. You need to wake up. You need to do it now. If the things that, if you're going to serve God, you need to do it today. You see, you can't go back and do it yesterday. Yesterday's gone. You can't do it tomorrow. We all have got good intentions of serving God tomorrow, but tomorrow never gets here. And what Paul was saying, it's time to wake up. It's time to be a Christian. It's time to represent our Lord Jesus Christ and serve Him and do it now and do it today. And then number four, there's a time to depart. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, Paul writes, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." There's going to come a time in every one of our lives where we'll leave this earth. Again, it may be by way of the rapture when we hear the trumpet sound and that voice that says, "Come up hither," and we rise in the clouds to meet Him in the clouds, or it may come by way of death. I don't know. I don't know what it'll be for me. I don't know what it'll be for any of you, but I know that the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. And that the only way we escape death is, again, if we're alive when Jesus comes back. Paul said, when he talked about his time of departure, he said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And so I ask you this morning, are you ready for that time? Now again, I'll go back to my first point. If you're here and you're not saved, you're not ready. You need to get ready. Today's the day of salvation. What you decide, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, what you decide in the next couple of minutes may determine where you spend eternity. You say, "Oh, preacher, I'm not ready to make that kind of decision." It doesn't matter. The fact that God has you here this morning, the fact that you're hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, what you decide in the next couple of minutes may decide where you spend eternity. It may decide whether you go to heaven or hell. Paul says, "I'm ready to go," because he says, "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." What Paul was saying, I know who I've believed, and He's able to take all my sins, and I don't have to pay for those sins. And when I leave this world, I know where I'm going. To be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord, he wrote in another place. Is that your testimony this morning? You know for sure you're on your way to heaven? Jesus is the only way. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." If you're depending on something else besides Jesus Christ and the relationship you have with Him to get you to heaven, you're mistaken. You're depending on the wrong thing. There's only one way. Just one way. And so I speak to those that don't know Christ this morning. You need to get saved. Today's the day. Now's the time. I also speak to Christians. Are you ready? Can you say with Paul, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the faith. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith." If you're going to do something for God, don't wait till tomorrow. Do it now. Do it today. You say, "Preacher, there's somebody in my life I need to talk to about Jesus." You need to talk to him today. Today. There's somebody in my life that I need, that God has spoken to me in some way, and he's told me I need to do this for that person. You need to do it today. Paul could say at that very moment, I am ready. The time of my departure is at hand. I've done what God wants me to do. And it's like, you know, some of us have honey-do lists. I got a long list. And one of the things I'm looking forward to in my retirement is maybe I can make some headway on that list. But I've been talking to some of these guys that have been retired, and you know what they tell me? They said, "Preacher, you want to be careful, because as soon as you empty out the list, they add to it." They add to it. And so I've sort of decided, once I get the list down, everything that's added, I'm going to try to get it done that day. I don't want to get behind again, Brother Harry. I feel so behind now, I don't want to get behind again. And it's the same way with serving God. Don't get behind. If he leads you to do something, then just go ahead and do it. because you don't know how much time you got. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just trying to be practical with you. None of us know how much time we have. I have two acquaintances at work. We're becoming friends, but we're not friends yet. So I just say I have two acquaintances. In the last couple of weeks, both of these acquaintances have lost their dads. One of them knew that their dad was dying. He had cancer. He fought it a long, long time. But a couple of weeks ago, he died and he went to heaven. He was saved. And his son, because he knew that his dad was dying, spent every spare moment he had with his dad. He'd go over every day after work, spend the weekends, and he was there by his dad's side when he died. In the last few months, and we've talked about it, he has told his father over and over and over again in various ways how much he loved him and how much he appreciated him. The other acquaintance I have is a young lady whose dad was very healthy, but early Monday this week had a heart attack and died. She didn't know her dad was going to die. She didn't have the same motivation to spend time with her dad or to express love to her dad as my other friend did. Oh, when she was with her dad, she told her dad that she loved him. But as I talked to her on Thursday this week, she said, you know, there was a lot of things I wanted to tell my dad. I never did. Because I thought I had more time. I thought I had plenty of time to tell him those things. And so again, I tell you, I say to you, I encourage you, if God's spoken to you to do something, just go ahead and do it. Do it now. Again, if you're here today and you're not saved, do it now. What's holding you back? Why? How can you reject the love that Jesus showed for us on Calvary's cross when he died for us? Just come and receive him. Ask him to be your Savior. He'll take you. But as Christians, just the simple fact, and I'll use the example that I use from my illustrations, just letting your mom and dad know that you love them, letting your grandpa and your grandma know that you love them. You ought to do it. You ought to do it. Take every opportunity that you can to do it. Because again, you don't know how much time they have or you have. You don't know how much time you have to serve God. You don't know how much time you have to do the things that he wants you to do. So keep your list short. Keep your list short. Do it today. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you've set a time. You set a time for us to be saved. And I'm so glad that many people here this morning have already marked that time in their life. They know they're on their way to heaven because there's been a time where they asked Jesus to be their Savior. Father, there's probably some here this morning that they've never taken the time to do that. Satan gets us so busy and he tells us so many lies that we think we've got plenty of time to get saved. And I pray, Father, you'd help the folks that are here that don't know Jesus to come face to face with the fact that they don't know how much time they got. Today's the day. That's why you say it. Today's the day of salvation. And then, Father, I pray you'd speak to the Christians that are here. I pray that we'd wake up, that we wouldn't be convenient Christians, but we'd be true-hearted Christians serving Jesus every day, that we'd trust him, and that, Father, we'd get ready for our departure from this life. I pray that you bless this time of invitation. Again, Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient. Help us to do what you tell us to do, and we'll be sure Jesus gets all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.